This is Film Center, your number one show for real entertainment industry news. No fluff, all facts. Now, here are your anchors, Derek Johnson II and Nicholas Killian.
For studio news, I'm Derek Johnson II.
I'm Nicholas Killian.
And what are we talking about today, Nicholas?
Today we are talking about the man, the myth, the legend, Akira Toriyama.
Akira Toriyama today. So today is March 8th. Even though he passed away a week ago on March 1st, his death has been confirmed. I think yesterday, actually, March 7th. And then we're talking about today on March 8th.
Right. So we're basically saying that he died from a heart attack. Basically what they're saying.
They said a heart attack, and then there was another report saying that something about a brain injury. But either way, this person, this man, has passed away.
Has affected all of our lives.
So it's no secret that anime was in America prior to Dragon Ball Z. Speed Racer, Astro Boy, that's about
Gundam
it.
Gundam was here before. Yeah, Gundam was in the 80s.
Yeah, but it wasn't as popular 90s. as the previous two.
True.
You know, it's just like, you know, when you're young watching, Toonami, right? Everyone remembers Dragon Ball Z. Who remembers Big O?
Yeah, I remember Big O.
Yeah, but it's not as talked about as Dragon Ball Z is, right? So it's just a level of popularity. To say that Dragon Ball Z, even GT and Super had an effect on other creatives is an understatement.
He
is like the Stan Lee of anime. Japan.
Yeah.
He's Japan's Stan Lee. And, it's hard to even compare him to that because they're both such great creatives in their own ways. So I'm not going to continue saying that, but just in perspective.
Right. To get people's head around the fact of how impactful this man was.
This man's art. I mean, this man. So he Dragon Ball has been going on for so long. It's been going on since before we were born.
Right.
And the crazy part is that you see the character age from being a literal baby to a kid to being a teenager and marrying Chi-Chi to then being an adult, having his own kids, you know, going on. And the show is still going on strong, which is crazy. It even has something called Dragon Ball Superheroes, which is not canon, but it's currently some crazy.
And there's
stuff
Dragon
going on
Ball Z Kai.
They remade the original Dragon Ball Z, make it Dragon Ball Kai. You know, the story is so great, they just redo that for the video game every day. Every year.
Yeah, it's... You're never going to run out of Dragon Ball Z material.
You could just retell it and people won't care. It's like, oh, cool. They're retelling it? Awesome. It's my favorite story ever.
That's what happened with Kai, right? They recut it to basically cut out all the filler.
It's so incredible to see the effect that one person can have on the world. Like, when Stan Lee passed, it was like, it rocked the earth. And then now with Akira's passing, it's another giant earthquake.
Yeah, giant. Well, I mean, I think all of us, you know, who are around our ages, you know, late 20s, early 30s, you know, remember Toonami, right? That was a lot of people's introduction to anime.
Yeah, either that or 4Kids TV, but usually it was Toonami.
It was Toonami, you know, coming home from school. Or, like, for me, it was, you know, coming home.
Staying up a little later than you probably should have.
Or you were, like I did aftercare, right? Daycare, you know, after school. And then, so you would go watch Dragon Ball Z. One of the things, I would ask you this, DJ, because, I mean,
Chala,
we would...
Hey, Chala. Yeah.
What... Dragon Ball Z was, I think... is a very interesting anime because it was extremely violent, right?
Well, it was accepted violence.
Right. It was extremely violent, and a lot of parents didn't let their kids watch Dragon Ball Z, right? Because of the violence. But I had a number of people, especially when I started to get a little older. When I mean a little older, I mean like 15, 16, 17, right? And they would talk about how influential Dragon Ball Z was to their kids' vocabulary.
Yeah, I didn't even know that you. I didn't even know art books existed until I started watching Dragon Ball Z as a kid. I didn't know that, like, I mean, I knew people drew them. Duh, everyone knows that. But it's like, I was like, oh, okay. I want to see if I mean, I don't like drawing. But the first character I ever, like, oh, let me go find, let me try drawing art.
Right.
That my first kick at it was Dragon Ball Z. I was in Walmart and asked, I still remember, I asked my mom, I was like, hey, you know, I want this book. My mom was like, this is draw Dragon Ball Z on it. And I was like, yeah. She goes, you don't draw stuff. And I was like, yeah, right. Well, I want to try. She goes, okay. It was like $4 or $5. It was like super thin, so she didn't care. And I remember just sitting there tracing over Goku, just like a whole bunch, you know. I think, and then everyone's tried to go Super Saiyan as a kid.
Yep.
Everyone's gone to the room and be like, there's a very famous video of a black kid trying to go Super Saiyan on YouTube. It's one of the famous, right. One of the first big YouTube memes was a black kid trying to go Super Saiyan.
At recess.
Right. And, well, no, he was at his house.
Oh, he was at his house?
Yeah, he's at his house. He took his shirt off. So he was going crazy. And every kid tried to do a Kamehameha for no reason.
Yep.
And, you know, it's just one of those things that's just it's not, to say a cultural icon is not accurate enough. It's to say just an icon of human history.
Of epic proportions. Why do you think people's vocabulary increased so much watching the anime? Because that's what a lot of, whenever I was watching it, and whenever we had people that would watch it, friends that would watch it, people coming up, and parents would be like, you know, Jack or John or whoever, you know, his vocabulary is like, you know, is increasing, is critical thinking, all this kind of stuff.
Well, it's important to understand how the human brain actually develops. There has been a numerous amount of studies that have shown and proven that if you can capture someone's interest, they learn a lot more. There's there's a few studies I'd like to point out. There was one done by not Cambridge, I think it was Harvard actually, that looked at ADHD people and their attention and retention, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in one video, they were showing the groups of people with ADHD who were not on the medicine at the time, the meth. Who were
right. on the medicine they aren't the on the meth.
Right. They showed them a math lecture, and you can see them like twisting around and like turning around in the chair. And I'm sure it was a very popular video. I'm sure you've seen it. You're not really paying attention. Then they show this person, and it was only like, I think it was like 3 minutes of a math lecture. Then they played 60 minutes of A New Hope, Star Wars, and they're just sit still, completely glued to the screen. It's because it's actually interesting and entertaining. Now, most people know what they want to be because they find interest in that, right? Mm-hmm. So there's also, I'm then combining like this knowledge with, there's also proven studies that your child will have a learning deficiencies the way you treat them when they're newborns.
Really?
And all the way up to their, I think to like their 7. Yeah, it's a huge, as most people know, it's a huge learning time, right? Mm-hmm. You know, they're learning their first language, they learn what a circle is, this is and that. There, a lot of times, you'll see two types of parents. You see some parents, they go, come here, Joshua. No, put that down, Joshua. This is that. And you see people go, and you guys see other parents that go, I want that, got that, that. You know, them, they make that little sounds. Oh, come here, baby. Oh, how's it something, something. For some reason, when you speak articulately, not for some reason, but when you speak more articulately to a young child, they just start to learn faster. Because you have to think about it like this. If you're giving them baby talk, that baby talk, that's what they're learning. And then it's slowing down their development. Because they don't have any knowledge to base it off of. They're kids, right? So they don't have enough experience to have their own knowledge to base it off of, right? So they're learning baby talk, and they're learning real talk, and having to discern what is real and what is fake compared to just learning all the real stuff and just growing up that way. So it's quite interesting.
We have ADHD because our parents talk baby talk to us?
No. Those are just an example. Oh, okay. Like, when things that are interesting, people learn faster.
Okay.
Right? When they're giving real content. Right? So when they're interested in something. Okay, well, when you're a kid, you were going to find Dragon Ball Z in anime interesting because of the colors and whatever. But also, you're learning faster because you're not hearing people give you that small baby treatment because you're a child.
Right.
Right. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. It's low-key making them mature faster.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's... And plus, it started off as just regular tournament fights and stuff like that before it escalated to the violence it is.
Right. I think that was... And it also taught you so much. Like, I mean, obviously anime teaches you so much, you know, just in general. And whenever it's almost like hiding the dog's medicine in the dog food type of deal. Like, you get what I'm saying by that? So it's basically, it's the same thing anime is doing. Is teaching you about life, love, happiness, all that kind of stuff with the creative genius that is, you know, anime.
Akira, Dragon Ball Z wasn't the only thing that Akira did, but Akira, he is just so influential. Goku, anyone wearing orange in general, even if they're like the orange with the blue combo, like even people who don't know or who can't read Japanese, they're just so recognizable.
Right. It's
right. It's like showing someone a picture of Spider-Man or the Hulk. Or showing someone a picture of Batman and being like, oh, who is this? They're like, oh, I know who that is. That's you know, Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, right? Showing someone a picture of Superman is the same way. What is always the biggest debate in all of fiction? It's like, well, all of action fiction is, oh, who's super strong, Superman or Goku? Right. Right? There have been, that into itself is like a genre of YouTube videos.
Right.
An entire genre is based off of these two characters fighting. And... You know, and unlike a lot of Western culture heroes, you see Goku working out. You never seen Superman benching. Oh, sorry, I gotta work out to defeat this enemy. You don't see him doing that. He's just being Superman. Batman works out, but like he does it like in like the background. There's never really scenes of seeing them training like that, right? Until more recently.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that, I think, honestly, as far as even the rest of anime goes and the rest of fiction, the one moment that Akira made that every other fiction writer is chasing is Goku going Super Saiyan for the first time.
Yeah.
There just isn't any feeling like it. There's just no emotion like it. I remember seeing it for the first time.
We were just like...
And you're just like, what is this? Whoa, what is going on? And the crazy part is, he only did that because they, he needed to use less black ink, apparently.
Is that the reason?
Yeah, he needed to use less black ink. And, you know, it's black and white when it's in manga. Goku's hair is black, right? So they need to use less black ink. So he's like, okay, this character design, I'm going to just... In the original manga, his hair is white, but they make it golden, the yellowness in the anime.
Yeah, that's crazy. Also, I was looking at some of Toriyama's early stuff, and he did not have immediate success. So he was basically saying that he faced rejection from publishers before finding his breakthrough with Dr. Slump, which debuted in 1980. So just like everybody else, he faced his fair share of people not believing in him. It's almost, I remember somebody telling me, don't wait for permission. Be undeniable.
And something that's really great about Akira is, like I said, like Dragon Ball is his most famous thing. He did things outside of it, and there are certain aspects of Akira that's quite interesting. Like for example, he didn't like Vegeta, even though he created that character. And like Vegeta's like some people's favorite characters, like Vegeta.
It's Vegeta, yeah.
Vegeta, like when you think of the Dragon Ball duo. All right, you're like, oh my gosh, well, you know, this is, you can't, no one can beat Goku, right? Can this person beat Goku? Okay. But then it's like, well, there's Goku and Vegeta. All right, well, whoever they're going against loses. Like, that's, that's the end of the story.
You know what's also crazy is the height of these characters. Like, Vegeta's like 5'2".
Yeah, I think so. Vegeta's like 5'2", and I think Goku's like 5'10".
Something like that. He's like 5'10", 5'8".
Aren't you 5'10"?
Yeah.
How come you haven't gone Super Saiyan yet, Nicholas?
apparently my white powers, you know, haven't reached their zenith yet.
You haven't kicked in, huh?
But also, the crazy part about, do you think that Toriyama, I guess what I'm saying is Toriyama, even though he's reached literally God status, Super Saiyan God. Especially
among writers. Like
Super Saiyan God status, right? He lives a relatively modest lifestyle. He doesn't live crazy.
I think that's part of the Japanese culture,
though. I was just about to ask you, do you think that is attributed to Akira, or do you think that's attributed to his Japanese culture?
I'm pretty sure it's to the culture, but I'm not Japanese enough to answer that. I personally think that, but I'm pretty sure it's just really more about the culture. I mean, you look at, Japan's come out with some, it's not a secret that Japan has come out with a lot of media that Americans enjoy.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a secret. And yet, a lot of them don't live the lavish diet lifestyles that you see a lot of American creators make. So I think it's just more of a cultural thing. Although, to be fair, it is possible that it is also their status is treated differently. Japan's obviously they're a much smaller country than we are. They're a group of islands, and Japan, I believe, is relatively the size of one of our states, depending on which state you're talking about. And I mean one of our smaller states, like,
right?
I don't know.
Well, and then because he's so revered and he's so famous, he can't go anywhere.
Yeah, especially in Japan. I bet you it was really hard to... I mean, he's like the Michael Jackson. I mean,
he lives in a rural area of Japan.
Right.
Probably
very modest life,
out of necessity.
Two sons, you know, chilling. And, you know, it's crazy. This is one of the things that really cemented, like, his legacy. Okay, so Stan Lee passed away, right? Who came after Stan Lee? Do you know?
No.
Just because there is no one. Stan Lee, in America, you create something great, and corporations steal it from you to make more money off you, and then you as a creative, they shove you into the back until you perish, and then they don't really care about you. It's not a secret that Stan Lee probably might have still even been alive if there wasn't so much elder abuse to Stan Lee. This is Stan Lee.
Elder abuse with Stan Lee?
Yeah. Do you know what?
No.
Yeah, there was a bunch of elder abuse to Stan Lee. It's part of the reason why his wife passed away, too.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yes, but that's a conversation for another time. But yeah, it's a whole bunch of elder abuse. In fact, it went to court. It was that serious.
Really?
Yes. And that's what Americans do to creatives who change the face of human history for forever, like Stan Lee. Stan Lee is like a modern William Shakespeare, basically.
Right.
Like, say, people talk about, like, people talk about great writers who've changed the face of human history, culture, kind of like Lord of the Rings, right? Mm-hmm. Or Tolkien. Lord of the Rings is awesome. I love Lord of the Rings. I also love Star Wars, mm-hmm. George Lucas. Neither of them are even close to Stan Lee's power.
Not even close.
Like, I love... The people can like those franchises more than they can like Marvel. Because a lot of people do. Oh, I just like Lord of the Rings better than I like Marvel. Or I like... some people say, I like Star Wars more than I like Marvel.
But in terms of cultural impact...
In terms of world, global, human history impact, it just doesn't... It's not even a candle. It's a candle to it. And that's what Americans do to writers who are like that. For Akira Toriyama, right... I do believe that probably he didn't receive as much money, or I think it's more of a respect thing over there, right? They just respect the creators, but they don't pay them as much as they would have been paid if they were Americans, me personally. And that also could have attributed to their more modest lifestyle.
Well, the culture there is very much skewed, or not skewed, but it's very much revered. The elders are very much respected, right? And no matter the age, like elder, respecting your elders is not just about older people. It's just like respecting the person above you.
Right. So Stan Lee, we already said how big he is, right? That guy has no successor. That's why I said, do you know who his successor is? He doesn't have one.
No.
Because he was shoved off to the side and then Disney stole and everything. So Toriyama does have a successor. That's how powerful this man's writing was. To the part where the corporation came back to him and was like, okay, dude, well, if you're going to stop, you have to choose a successor. who's going to take the keys to the kingdom? You know?
Right.
That's crazy where he has to choose a successor to pass on his legacy. And the business people ask him for him to do that. That would never happen in America.
No.
Ever. They would just love to steal what you have and then tell you to die, basically.
Basically, yeah.
That's what American corporations would love to do. But yeah. This man is treated with so much respect. It's also a fact, not an opinion, but a fact that when new Dragon Ball Z and when new Dragon Ball Super episodes premiere, that there is actually a drop. Now, we're Americans. We live here in Los Angeles. But there's actually a drop in cartel activity.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a fact.
I saw on Instagram today, there was just an absolute mass of cartel people, you know.
Giving respects. And they're not Japanese.
To Akira Toriyama.
Yeah.
In terms of Dragon Ball Z. And this wasn't in Japan. This was...
In Mexico.
Yeah, in Mexico.
And Mexico and South and the South part of the United States.
But also, I hate to do this, but who do you think came up with better villains?
Who mean who?
Stan Lee or Akira Toriyama?
That's not really a fair question, just because Akira Toriyama, he's really known for one series, and when that series took off, he focused on that series. So he had to come up with villains for that series, you know. So he didn't really have, he couldn't come up as many diverse villains as Stan Lee could have.
That's a fair enough question.
You know, so Stan Lee, you have Wolverine, you have Spider-Man, you have the Hulk, right? These are, now to be fair, Jack Kirby came up with the webbing kind of thing, but these characters are so wildly different into themselves. When you create villains for them, their villains are just going to be more diverse and more different, giving you more opportunities to make more diverse villains.
Right, to go and, more in depth.
Right. So it's not really a fair question. I will say, though, that when it comes to... Because, you know, with comics, you write a whole bunch of stuff. They comics go wide. Manga really goes deep, where they double down on one of them instead of just creating a whole bunch of stuff, right? There's not a lot of, especially in before a lot of the corporations like Apple and Disney got into, you know, Marvel and DC and Sony and stuff like that, there's a whole bunch of comic crossovers. You would see, you know, Wonder Woman versus Storm, right? You would see the Hulk versus Superman, right? So Americans love doing crossovers with franchises. It's not as popular in Japan, right?
No.
So, who knows? You know, I don't think it's a fair question. However, I will say that when it comes, did he create some great villains? Yeah. Vegeta's...
Frieza,
I like the earlier Frieza better than I do, like, the more modern Frieza.
Earlier Frieza was... You're just sitting there as a kid and you're just like, this dude is so cool. Also,
and he was like, and even though he was like gender questionable, no one cared.
Right.
Even said anything about it. There was no like parents in the street like, oh, you know, da da. He's played by a male voice actor in the Japanese and the Japanese audio. But in the in English audio, it's played by a woman.
Right.
Right. But again, it's an alien, so we don't even know if you could have the male or female debate in the first place. But regardless of which, you know, you have... I think Frieza's great, but Vegeta's one of the best Lances, I would say. So, Lance as in the archetypes of writing. You know, you have the hero, a Lance, you have the muscle, you have the brains... Right, then you have the heart of the group, right? And together they make Captain Planet.
Right.
So, but, or the five Power Rangers. Right. Most D&Ds are like this. D&D campaigns are like that.
Who was your favorite villain?
From
Dragon Ball Z.
I think Broly's my favorite villain.
Broly is your favorite villain?
So Vegeta, like, he's really... I'm a Vegeta fan, mainly because, like, his motivation is crazy. Like, he just wants to be the best, but this guy who always beats him. So, I mean, it's been, like, 20 years. he should give up. But he doesn't, because that's not the type of person that he is.
Right.
He grows and evolves and becomes a better person, but he's still, like, you know, a jerk, right?
Right.
What I like about Broly, the old Broly and then the newer Broly is more like he's, like, crazy, right?
Right.
What I liked about the older Broly, his reasoning for hating Kakarot is really stupid. Well, what, he was crying as a baby? You were also a baby. What are you talking about? Like, how do you remember this? It doesn't make any sense. But what I did like about him is that how evil he was and how he was just whooping tail. This guy is, like, 10 feet tall with the frame of Shaquille O'Neal and dodging everyone's attacks. What this do you man, mean he's dodging?
This man is 8'8", 600 pounds.
Right. He has the hitbox of a refrigerator, and people are missing. You know what I'm saying? And he's fast, and not only that, he's just so evil. You know what I'm saying? He's just like, oh, I'm just here to destroy stuff. I destroyed an entire galaxy, and now I'm here to destroy you. And he had to lose to plot armor. Like, that's how you know you're a great villain. Like, you didn't lose legitimately. You lost to plot armor, and then you came back after you died two more times.
That's
you were so
crazy.
Great that you were actually a just non-canon character that they had to then make canon later on.
Right, that's kind of like when we watched the Broly movie, which is just 2.5 hours of him just whooping their tails.
Right, there are so many, and there are so many references to Dragon Ball Z in other forms of media, especially American media, you know, and his influence, it would be felt throughout time, really. Like, I honestly, there are, people say like, oh, are there animes better than Dragon Ball Z? I think that there are some I have enjoyed more than that, mm-hmm. but if I would say that there's one that I'm more attached to, like, personally,
no,
I don't think there is,
because there's, I don't think if you're in the age range of
I don't
late,
think it can be.
No, if you're in the late age range, if you're in the age range of late 20s to early 30s, there was no better feeling than coming home from school and watching Toonami, you know, getting something to drink, eating some hot pockets or pizza rolls or something like that, and then watching, Spike, you know,
because
he's the guy that voices the Toonami guy,
right? You know, it's also part of the reason
well,
why.
Well, welcome back, everybody, and then you know, excuse my horrible impression.
I thought it was great, actually. I thought it was like, pretty dead on. I think that part of that reason for it is the longevity of it. It's still going on. Right? Like, here's the thing. With American stories, they usually have an ending. Unless there's, like, a Spider-Man comic. You know what I'm saying? Like, they have arcs, right? But, like... And a lot of mangas end, too. You know what I'm saying? A lot of mangas... A lot of stories in general have endings.
Well, the creator of One Piece says it's going to end in 2025.
Yeah, I'll believe that when I see it. It's been like One Piece and Dragon Ball, longevity-wise, for our entire lives.
Right.
As of this recording, everything that I know and could possibly process in my brain, in my understanding of time itself, has not existed longer than these franchises.
Well, and also...
And the people making them.
Also, when it comes to terms with making money, they're going to keep it going.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if it's American, whatever it is...
They take a dead horse, make it a zombie, and keep it pushing.
Now, I'm not sure if they would do that in Japan.
I think there's more... I think
more reverence for the material?
Well, I don't know about that much, because Japan, Korea...
Business is still business.
Right, that's what I'm saying. There are some...
Money's
still
money.
I mean, let's not act like there haven't been a whole bunch of allegations about the way they treat their animators.
Well, yeah, and then also...
And the way they also treat some of their other mangakas. But, you know, that just proves the power of Dragon Ball Z, that he's like, oh, you're not going to treat me like that. I don't care what other people are doing. I'm a curatorial.
Do you think... So, we've talked about this before. We've talked about the creator of Bleach, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how he doesn't want to do Bleach anymore. Right? He wants to start something different.
Right.
Okay? And the only reason why he really started doing Bleach again was because nobody wanted to see anything else. Nobody was going to allow him to do anything else.
Yeah, they didn't want to back us up. Like, I mean, a lot of creators do that. When you're a creative person, you don't just want to work on one project your whole life. That One Piece guy is working a whole bunch of other stuff. There's a ton, like Dragon Quest. The art, Akira Toriyama did that. If you look at the art for Dragon Quest, it's Dragon Ball Z. I honestly, when I first saw the video game Dragon Quest, I was like, is this a Dragon Ball Z video game that's called Dragon Quest? That's crazy. And then my friend was like, no, that's not Dragon Ball Z at all. It's by Akira, but it's called Dragon Quest. And I was like, oh. It looks so much like Dragon Ball that I was like, the style is so iconic.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So did he work on a lot of other animes or was
mostly... he worked on a whole bunch of stuff that but he's just Dragon Ball Z is the most popular. Right?
So
just like the creator of Naruto is trying to make a manga about samurais instead of ninjas. Well, not trying to, he did, but it's not as popular, right? So, you know, you have this person whose legacy is Dragon Ball Z, and also it's a legacy that he doesn't hate. You see a lot of creatives because they have a whole bunch of ideas. People only like one. I understand the sentiment. And
you guys should hear Rock Gorilla. It is DJ's best work.
He's never even read that script. He's never even
Rock
read
Gorilla
that script. He's just
the
making
best.
This joke because of things. It's, whatever. I'm not about to get into Rock Gorilla. But, you know, it's you know, he's most known for that, right? And he has... It's still interesting because it says he doesn't like certain characters, but then he kept writing because other people liked him.
Now, one question I would ask you is, why do you think Akira Toriyama, out of the many people who create things and it becomes wildly popular, none more popular than Dragon Ball Z, why do you think it is that he never ended up hating his creation? In your... estimation.
I personally, once again, I do not know this. Obviously, I don't know him personally.
Right.
I will say that he probably, I mean, he just genuine love for it. There are some things that you create that you're just like, you know, I don't really matter. Like, it's like having a kid, right? I don't care what any parent says. If you have more than one kid, do you have a favorite?
Right, of course.
Me and Nicholas both have siblings. All right. We know which parents like us versus the other ones.
Right.
That's just kind of how it is. Like, every parent has a favorite. Any parent who says they don't, they're lying to you. If one of your parents said that to you, I'm sorry that they lied to you. They might not tell you, right?
Well,
but they, you know,
I think what would be a more honest representation of that is that they love them both the same, but they like one better.
Right. So in this case, it's like the one that you like ends up being the one everyone else also likes. You're like, well, of course. That's kid number two. Like, I like that guy. Like, out of the five of them, everyone likes this one, and so do I.
So, out of the vast difference between Akira Toriyama and the creator of Bleach, because the fact is I don't know who the creator of Bleach is, but I know who Akira Toriyama is, right?
You know that's another thing that's crazy. A lot of people don't know the creators of other animes and mangas, but everyone knows who Akira Toriyama is.
Right. So why do you think, in your estimation, why was Akira, other than the obvious, why do you think he was allowed to work on other animes and the creator wasn't?
Also, it's Kubo. Kubo is the creator of Bleach. But, I mean, I don't know if he... I don't know the extent in which he worked on other animes, man. I have no idea. It's not like he worked on I personally not an Akira expert. I don't know. Why do you think?
One of the reasons why I think is because while Bleach is iconic, it just doesn't touch Dragon Ball Z.
I mean, I'll tell you what it is right now, and it's very hard for some people to discern. And me personally, I'm only really able to tell when a project has the juice, I call it. I think from working in development. There's a lot of people who, like working in development, it's your job to know that something's going to pop off versus something else.
Right.
A lot of people don't work in development, and a lot of people can't really... It's a hard job to be good at. It's kind of one of those jobs where you can kind of do what you kind of don't. I'll tell you what a juice is right now. The long part of it is the story engine of the franchise itself. Goku, the story of Dragon Ball is really like, find the seven Dragon Balls. Then Dragon Ball Z comes around and is about defend the Earth against aliens.
Right.
Okay.
Against
various aliens and various monsters. Okay. Bleach is kind of the same thing, except it's like, oh, all the monsters actually come from, or just ghosts. So defend it against ghosts, but not just like random ghosts. They're like more specific, right? Dragon Ball Z and Bleach, you can't just have some ghosts come from Mars, come down from the sky and be like, hey, I'm a Martian, you know, hollow, and we got to fight. Doesn't make any sense, right? It doesn't really work. But what you can do is have, in Dragon Ball, be like, hey, it's the reanimated corpse of Gohan, his grandfather. They got to fight now. That makes sense. There's just way more to do there. And when there's way more to do, there's way more to write about. It just has the juice, you know? So, hey, man. R.I.P. Akira Toriyama.
R.I.P. Akira Toriyama.
Yeah. Well, I'm Derek Johnson II.
I'm Nicholas Killian.
And we'll see you next time.
See you.
This has been Film Center on Comic-Con Radio. Check out our previous episodes at ComicConRadio.com. You can follow the show at Film Center News on all major social media platforms. Tune in next Wednesday for a fresh update. Until next time, this has been Film Center.
Hey, do you like anime and manga? Nick and I are big fans of the genre.
Yeah, we recently discovered a manga named Tamashii. It's written and created by Ryan McCarthy, and it recently just came out with its 10th volume.
Now, Tamashii is an isekai about a girl who gets transported to another world called the Ancient Lands. She gains mysterious powers and must fight demons and monsters to find her way home.
Check it out on Amazon, Blurb, and get a physical copy at RyanMcCarthyProductions.com.
I'm Derek Johnson II.
I'm Nicholas Killian.
And what are we talking about today, Nicholas?
Today we are talking about